Isn't he awesome? He is so awesome. You may be seated. I'm so glad that you... Is it raining out there? It's raining, but who cares, man? I mean, we are here together, and I'm very excited. We're going to be wrapping up our series. The series is titled Experiencing Heaven on Earth, but I focus on this phrase, there is a place, and it's a spiritual place, and I want to tell you something, that I could not have preached this series a year ago because I didn't understand what I understand today. I couldn't have done it 10 years ago and 20 years ago, forget it. But in my journey with God over the last 40 years, as I've continued climbing, continued walking with Him, He's got me to a place, and I don't know, to me, this series is, I've preached a lot of series in the last 35 years, okay? But to me, this is the best one I've ever preached, not because it's good, because of the understanding that I have of Him and what He's helped me. So I'm going to share with you this morning some things that God has been teaching me, and I really hope and pray that you can get some of it. Listen, if you can't get all of it, it's okay. See, because I'm on a journey, and again, 10 years ago, I was a pastor. I was 25 years into the ministry. I could not have even talked about the things that God has shown me in my experience with Him and through His Word. And I want to share those things. That's what a pastor does. A pastor, listen, he's not a teacher, he teaches. He's not a preacher, he preaches. He's not a counselor, he counsels. He's a man who walks with God, fully abandoned to Him, and as he learns things on the journey, he tells it to the people that he shepherds so that they can just get the idea. Listen, we're all broken vessels. We're all in need of a Savior. And again, I think to myself, I was like, man, for those, how many of you have been at this church for 10 years or more? Raise your hands. Man, you had to put up with me then. And all I'm saying is this, in all humility, is that as you walk with Him, you learn. You just learn. And you grow. And I'm excited. And I want that for you, wherever you are. I want that for you. So let me do a review, and then we're going to jump into today's sermon. There is a spiritual place for the Christian where we find intimacy with God. Now, getting to this place requires a private and lifelong journey, which can be a little scary at times. Staying on that journey requires, because a lot of times on that journey, you want to get off. Or you want to just say, hey, I'm going to pitch a tent and stay here. I've gone far enough, okay? But you'll never experience heaven on earth unless you're willing to continue in the journey. Keep walking. But staying on that journey requires trust, obedience, and the maintaining of a soft and willing heart, because sometimes on that journey, things come our way that we weren't expecting and don't even fit our theology. Because if your theology is that God just blesses and blesses and blesses, well, He does, but some of those blessings are disguised as trials and tribulations, and there's pain in the journey. So sometimes you're walking by faith and not by sight, but that's okay. This place is also described as a spiritual place of rest. Now, we're not talking about sleep, okay? We're talking about, it's in this place that we experience intimacy with God, which feels very much like heaven on earth. And it comes often in a still small voice, in all kinds of ways, but it comes and we get to experience it. Personally, I have been in and out of this place of spiritual rest in my 40 years of knowing Christ. In, out, in, out, in, out, okay? I'm trying to learn how to stay in that place, but before you can learn how to stay there, you actually have to learn how to get there, okay? So I don't beat myself up because I'm in and out of it. I'm in and out of it on any given week, sometimes any given day. Okay, but that's okay, because we know when you know that that intimacy with God is available, you just keep trying. And this is not talking about being a better Christian. This is not, listen, we walk by faith and we grow by faith. It's being on a journey in which God will reveal himself to you. You don't have to worry about things like sin when you're walking close with him because you don't want sin. Your heart changes. And the things that seem difficult, I've heard people say it's really hard. Walking with God is really hard. I say, no, living life without God is really hard because I lived 22 years of my life without God. Now, that doesn't mean it's not challenging because to grow in our faith, God will test and challenge us. So I want, some of you have been to that place, you're in and out. Hey, you're with me. Some of you are about to experience that. But there are certainly things that keep us from this place of intimacy with God. Things that will keep you from that. One of them is an unbelieving heart. Now, you say, well, Joe, my faith is not perfect. This is not talking about the feeling of faith. It's about the willingness to keep walking with God when you can't feel him. I promise you that is the time that you prove that your faith is real. When you can't, you think, wow, I'm feeling the Lord and this is great. That's good. Anyone can walk with him when you're feeling it. The true test of faith is when you walk with him when you're not feeling it. When everything in your life is falling apart, but you say, but Lord, I know, I don't feel, I know that you're the one, and you keep walking. And he's in heaven clapping. He's saying, I'm so proud of you. And when the trial passes, then we've grown stronger. We're stronger. But an unbelieving heart will keep us from not having doubts and questions and being fearful, but it's when we stop walking with him. And then sin and disobedience will keep you from that. Someone told me, let me just move on. Okay. These hindrances can be overcome when we, according to the scriptures, this is review, when we guard our hearts from sin and unbelief. You have to guard your heart from it. Now, so many people have stopped coming to church during COVID. We're starting to come back. We're back to two services. We're excited about that. But the guarding of your heart has to do with staying in the Word and being around people who are encouraging you to move forward. In fact, it goes on and it says, you guard your heart from sin and unbelief, but you exhort and encourage, we exhort and encourage each other every day. You know what I'm doing today? I'm not really teaching you. I'm encouraging you with the scriptures. So you're being taught scripture, but I'm encouraging you so that you will continue overcoming those hindrances, keep walking with God, because there's a place. There's a place that sets Christianity apart. This is not religion. We're not following a religion. I didn't give my life for religion. I have a relationship with God, and that walk with him is exciting, and it's amazing. And along the way, there are amazing oases that we experience, a little bit of heaven on earth. That's what I want you to have. And there's a phrase that says this. We're to listen for God's voice, and I'll get into that in a second, as long as it's called today. So God calls us to this place as Christians throughout our lives, but there could come a time when, for you, it's no longer called today. When a person doesn't hear the call any longer, it is possible to get to a place as a believer in God that your chance to experience heaven on earth because of sin and unbelief and because of just getting off the trail, that you're not able to hear the voice. You can't hear it any longer. It's not that God doesn't want you to take the journey. It's perhaps that our heart becomes so hardened, or the web of sin consumes us, and now we're not going to be able to experience heaven on earth. Okay? Now, I'm going to unpack this for you. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about you lose your salvation. We're talking about you lose the opportunity to experience an intimacy with God that feels like heaven on earth. Okay. Experiencing heaven on earth involves responding to God today. Now, here's the good news. Tomorrow will be today when we get there. Okay? So sometimes people delay and they wait and I'm not ready. And I understand that. And that's possible. And there were times, listen, people used to, when I became a Christian, I was 22 years old because I hit rock bottom. I was about to end, you know, I was about to end my life or kill my girlfriend. Okay? That's what it's like in Brooklyn. Okay? Those things are possibilities. And I hit rock bottom and I came to Christ. And the people that brought me to church, Eddie and Martha, I said, I just wish I would have known about the gospel. I would have responded. I know I would have. I didn't have to hit bottom. They said, really, Joe? We were talking to you about Jesus over. And I said, you were? I never even heard a word they said until I hit rock bottom. And then I heard them. That was my today. But if I would have rejected God in those todays, I don't know how it works, but I know that, well, we're going to see it in a second. But when we hear the voice or the call of God, the wise thing to do is say yes. And what I want to do is I want to ask Arthur Rodriguez, I want him to come, and he's going to share a little bit about the opportunity where he actually, in a very unique place, where he said yes to God. So Arthur, come on up. Give him a hand. It's all yours, brother.
God bless each and every one of y'all. My name's Arthur Rodriguez, if y'all don't know me. But basically, I want to just kind of speak on what you spoke on heaven on earth. So basically, every day as I wake up, I choose God. I don't allow that to be an option for me. Without God, I can't be where I am today. So I receive him fully each and every day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not promised. But one thing that I remind myself so that I can continue to stay heaven on earth within my own mind and the spiritual aspect of things, I remind myself who I am, of what he done for me on that cross. He did not die in vain. So anytime I get discouraged or I fight with my own self to sit there and say that I'm less than, that I'm not worthy of, I have to remind myself who I am. Because again, he didn't just die for me, he died for each and every one of y'all. And I know that we all deal with things on a daily basis, but we got to give it back to God at the end of the day, because remember, he did the ultimate sacrifice by giving his son Jesus to die for us on that cross. So basically, with that, I want to share my testimony. 9 siblings, 7 boys, 2 girls. And it wasn't, to me, it was a very normal life because I was never taught. My parents never, you know, brought me to church. They lived in a very addictive lifestyle. And as I lived that way for many years of my life as a little boy, I end up getting into things that, for me, again, like I said, because I've dealt with abuse, I dealt with addictions, and this is me as a little boy. I remember at 7 years old, I was taught to steal, to provide for myself. I had my little brother who's 6 right beside me. And it didn't affect me until later on when I was able to see, like, man, I can't believe I lived that life, right? And then I would go back to God and blame him. Like, how could you have allowed me to go through all that as a little child, right? Here I am fending for myself, stealing, doing drugs. Here I am 9, 10, 11. And when I say drugs, I'm talking about methamphetamine, cocaine, crack, alcohol. And I'm just a little kid, right? But because of that lifestyle that I was living, at 11 years old, my brother, who was 21 years old, passed from drinking and driving. And there's when my parents made a shift. And I remember seeing my parents and their addiction and how they were. And I seen the transformation that God made in their life. My dad, he stopped drinking, stopped smoking, and it was immediately. So for me, I looked at that, and I was like, man, I mean, obviously there's something here, right? But again, because I was so rebellious and I was stuck in my own ways and how I grew up, I continued to run, and I was running fast. And eventually, you living a fast life, making the choices that I was making, eventually you were going to crash. And that's exactly what happened. I crashed, and it landed me behind some walls. But before that happened, I remember standing before the judge, and she sentenced me to 5 years, TDC. And I took it, and I remember turning around. I asked the judge, because my mom was behind me, and I said, can I hug my mom? She said, absolutely not. And then my mom poured out a Bible, and she said, can I give this to my son? She said, yes. So I remember her giving me this Bible. Remember going to the back, and I remember crying upon the Lord. At that moment, I was at a crossroads, and I tested God. I said, God, if you are who you say you are, show me. And he did exactly that. I remember as soon as that happened, started getting transferred, went to John Middleton. As I'm sitting there, John Middleton, it's a unit, about 1,800 men. I'm sitting in the congregation, and I asked God for a sign. They're doing baptisms. I said, God, give me a sign that I'm supposed to get baptized, right? So that's exactly what he did. The first song that they played was a song called Cansado de Camino. That was a song that I learned in church when I was 11 years old. And I used to play it, and it was one of my favorite songs. And that was the first song that they played. And it's Cansado de Camino is tired of the road, right? So I remember running up to the pew, and I remember the CEO telling me, hey, hold on. I was like, hey, I'm ready. And got baptized that night. I remember going back to my dorm, opening my Bible, and man, floodgates. Everything I started reading, because I've read the Bible in the past, I just couldn't receive it. My mind wasn't there. I guess I was distracted by everything else in the world. That God got my attention. I was able to read that Bible, and I was able to receive his word. And I could not stop crying. I could not stop receiving that. And as I continued to grow in that Bible, and as I continued to grow in that journey, God started showing himself in everything that I did. Everything that people, CEOs, people were saying that was impossible, God was showing me the possible. And I was seeing it on a daily basis. And I could not receive God because of what he was showing me. And again, I'm very stubborn. I mean, you really have to show me. Like, you really got, I got to see it, right? And I was seeing it. He was showing himself in ways that I couldn't say, man, that has to be God. So again, here I am walking through this journey, seeing God, what he's doing in my life. And here's my wife, my family, who I've left. And during all that brokenness, I can go back and I can tell you that my life, it seemed very hard because of what I was going through. But that heaven on earth that Joe was speaking about, tell me, why is it that even though I was behind those walls, that I could feel free? That I feel absolutely free. People were like, man, why are you so happy for? Look at that smile. You're in prison. You're supposed to be miserable. Hey, there was no miserable in me. I had God just constantly just flowing through me to the point where people were like, man, there's something about you. There's a light about you. I said, yeah, that's God. And to this day, I give it all back to God because it's him. It's not me. He uses me. I'm willing. I'm that vessel. So again, I tell y'all this to say this, is that Pastor Joe, being such a great guy that he is, when I did get out, I was able to meet him. He was able to accept me with arms wide open. And God was tapping me on my shoulder, me and my wife. And we decided to start a ministry called United House. And this ministry, oh man, again, there was a lot of things that I was seeing and dealing with at that moment, but I had to trust in God. Even though I feel like, God, is this where you want me? But again, it's me listening to his voice so that he can direct my path. Of course, I knew what I felt like I wanted to do, what I felt like I needed to do. But at the end of the day, I had to listen to what God was asking from me. And I do that on a daily basis. Even though it seems uncomfortable, even though I don't want to do it at the moment, life is hard, guys, right? Or is it? Is it the way that we claim things? Is it because we're using the terminology hard, right? Because we're going to go through trials regardless. Whether you're serving God or whether you're in the world, it's going to be somewhat, let's say, hard, right? Or we can allow God to continue to guide us and we can continue to claim victory in his name.
Amen.
Right? So I'm speaking this because there was one thing that really moved me and touched my heart. Is when I got out, I wanted to show my family who I was and the transformation that God made in me, right? But I knew just telling them wasn't enough. My little brother, John, he sits here right now. And I remember when I got out, I apologized to him because I wasn't that brother that he deserved. And I told him, I said, I'm here telling you this and showing you this. And I said, I know talk is cheap. I said, but maybe one day as I continue to walk this walk, that you'll be able to trust me to be the big brother that you've always desired for me to be as God leads me. And I did that year after year after year after year. And to this very moment, I've been serving the Lord for 8 years strong. And I give everything back to him and I trust in him with all my heart. And he has been so tremendously awesome in our lives. Time after time with my brothers here in the United House, we all deal with things, right? But we lay it all before the Lord and we choose God every day. Again, God bless y'all. Thank y'all. And y'all have a wonderful day.
You can give it to Tyler. Arthur, thank you. I'll give you a hug, lady. So Ricky, his wife, had started attending our church while he was still incarcerated. And we decided we would do marriage coaching. And I remember when I went to the house and met him for the first time, and he had a glow. Remember, Ricky, I said it? I said he had this glow of just of the Lord, and it's still there. Even behind bars, you can find heaven on earth. Okay, so let's wrap up today, and let's go to chapter 4, and let me try and unpack this for you. And here's my goal, that wherever you are in your journey, that you're going to begin saying yes as you hear God's voice. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands... His rest. It's a special place of intimacy with God. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Now just look at the scriptures. We're going to let the scriptures do the talking, okay? While the promise still stands, if you're still hearing his voice and have yet to respond, or even worse, if you've said no, then that person needs to fear. Even if they're a Christian, they're not fearing for their salvation. They're fearing because they're missing out on God's call and God's purpose in their life. Verse 2. For good news came to us, the gospel, just as to them. When he says them, he's speaking of the children of Israel when they were called to enter into the literal promised land. Okay? For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they, the children of Israel, heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So when the children of Israel were called to go into the promised land, they sent 12 spies to spy out the land. The 12 came back. 10 of them said, we can't do it. There are giants in the land. We cannot take this journey with God any further. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, they said yes. They said, if God calls us, we can do it. So he's now saying, good news came to us just as to them, the children of Israel, but the message they heard enter the land didn't benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. They didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies prevailed, and the children of Israel refused to enter the land God called them into, and they wound up spending 40 years wandering around in the desert. And when they all died, then their children led the conquest into the promised land. So the children of Israel heard the call to enter the land but said no. They did not get to benefit because they did not respond in faith. Neither does the Christian benefit from the blessings on earth of the gospel if we don't respond every day in faith. Don't ever think that God fails. We fail him. He doesn't fail us. And sometimes our understanding of him is wrong. We think, well, why am I suffering? Why am I going through this? Because a loving Father has a journey for us. And in that journey, our faith will be perfected. And we will experience him, not the things of the world. He didn't promise us the things of the world. He promised himself to us. But oftentimes we don't want, him is not enough. Remember we were singing the song about not being, the things in the world will never be enough. Not the money, not the job, not the house, not the spouse. Hey, that rhymes. Okay. How many people enter marriage thinking, well, that's the purpose of their lives, and I want the spouse so I can have, and it's like those of you that are married, they're like, well, let me talk to him, Joe. Right? Women make great wives, but terrible gods. Men make great husbands, some, but terrible gods. God wants to be the center, and then everything else, whatever we have or don't have, when he is in the center of our lives, it's enough. You'll find that. I'm looking at my buddy Enoch. Okay, Enoch, stand up. Okay, Enoch is how old now, 36? 35. 35. It's not a disability because he has a blessing of having, he has a Down syndrome maybe a little bit, but that is one of my best friends. That is someone I go to pray for me. That young man, 35, you're young, buddy, okay? He knows God. Like you can't believe. If you ever want to pray with someone and experience powerful prayer, ask Enoch to pray for you. He'll stop right there and he'll do it. And it doesn't matter if you're incarcerated, if you have a disability. God is going to meet every one of us. But he might not do it the way we want, but he's going to give us what we need. More than we need. But we have to respond in faith. Verse 3. It says, for we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, I swore in my wrath, they, the ones that rejected, that wouldn't go into the land, shall never enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day, a day of Sabbath, in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Now, it's a little confusing. Let me unpack it for you. Those who live life believing. We're not talking about salvation. Salvation comes when you trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. We're talking about a place where you experience heaven on earth. For those who live life believing and walking a life of faith get to enter that special place called God's rest. Those who don't live life believing do not enter the rest. Well, Joe, I prayed a prayer. Joe, I used to be a minister. I used to this. I used to that. I used to go out on the street and minister to the homeless. You cannot imagine. You cannot believe how much faith is out there. You cannot believe. Bruce, you work with me. Bruce works with that group of people. And you cannot believe how many of them do not get to experience that rest because of disobedience and sin in their lives. It's unbelievable. You say, because some, you're out there and you're like, wow, this person's in a situation. How did they get there? One step at a time. That's how. I have people in the room right now that have been homeless, that have been in those places. There are places to help that person, but how do we get where we are when we find ourselves far from God? One step at a time. Sin, unbelief, and we allow it to exist in our lives. And we can't enter his rest. As Christians, we can't experience that. Verse 6. It says, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. So here's what it's saying. It remains for some of us to enter into this place of spiritual rest, this place of intimacy with God, but some didn't enter that rest because they disobeyed. They said no. Okay. Verse 7, again, he appoints a certain day. This is now talking about God reaching out to his people and calling them to a place of intimacy with him. And it says he appoints a certain day for this, and it is today. Today. Saying through David, so long afterward. David, one of the kings of Israel, he came many years after that, but he said this to David. This is a pattern. This is how God works. In the words already quoted, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. God is using his word right now to speak to some of you. And what he's saying, he's calling you. He's tapping you, like Arthur said. He's responding, and he's saying, if you're hearing God's voice, do not harden your hearts. The day is today. Now listen, he may still call you tomorrow and the day after. So tomorrow may become today, but there's no guarantee of that. If you're here this morning and you've never opened your heart to ask Christ to be your Savior and Lord, if you've never received salvation, well, that's the first call. It's to follow Jesus. And he comes in our lives. He gives us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now lives within us. And now when you're not a Christian, he's knocking on the door of your heart. When you invite him in, he comes in, and now he calls you through the Holy Spirit from within. And he calls you to a life of faith, a walk, a journey. And like you said, Arthur, I love it, every single day. But when you begin to experience heaven on earth because you start saying yes to him and you're experiencing God, then all of a sudden, why wouldn't you say yes? Because there's all of these blessings on the road that he has for us. Verse 8, I'm almost done. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains a place, a call. Actually, let me go back to verse 8. For if Joshua, who led after the 40 years of wandering the wilderness, Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. So it says in verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, if entering the promised land was the rest God was talking about, God would not have spoken of another day later on. That was not the rest. That was the physical land. Okay. But verse 8 says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The physical promised land was a place of rest God spoke. If that was it, there wouldn't have been another place after that. Okay? So let me tell you how this plays out for us today. If the place of spiritual rest for the Christian was salvation or life after death, the writer of Hebrews would not be talking to us of another place of rest that comes after salvation that is offered to the child of God once they come to know him. It's something else. It's in addition. My friends, there is more to the Christian life. There's more. And I want you and me to take the journey that allows us to experience it. I get the chills. You know when I get the chills? Not when I'm cold. When I feel the Holy Spirit. When I feel him, I just got to write down. I've been getting it for years. Once in a while, write down my back. Last, a couple of more verses and we're done. Verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest, whoever is experiencing that intimacy, has also rested from his works as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. It's almost a paradox. Strive to rest. Let us strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. He's referring to the children of Israel who refused to go into the promised land to follow God's call in their lives. They said no, and they wandered around in the desert for 40 years when they died off, the children. He's saying, let us strive to enter the spiritual place of rest, whereas salvation is a free gift that's received by faith. The place of spiritual rest is received as we say yes and yes and yes to God on our journey every day. That's it. I can't go with you, but we can take a similar journey together, but it requires saying yes and yes and yes. Whereas we're saved when we believe, we experience intimacy with God when we walk and live our lives by faith. saying yes to God every time he asks us to do something or to not do something. And we enter a place of intimacy with God that very much feels like heaven on earth. Tanya, would you, worship team, would you come? And we're going to sing a song. I want you to stay seated as they do this song. I'm going to set the song up a little bit. I want to give you a short personal application. And then they're going to sing a song that, and I can tell you, God wanted this song sung because I had been thinking about asking Tanya to do it, and I kept forgetting. And Wednesday night, I was in my hot tub where I pray. If you're new in the church, I pray in my hot tub. It's one of the places I pray. And as I got out of the hot tub, and as I got in bed, I had my phone with me because I listened to music through the night because it helps me find him. Okay? And I was like, let me just text Tanya real quick. So it's 12 o'clock. She's sound asleep, you know. So I said, hey, Tanya, I know you'll get this tomorrow, but can you play the song Voice of God on Sunday? And 3 seconds later, she texted back, LOL, I knew you were going to ask me. It's already planned. We're singing it. And then Sean texted me and said, will you stop texting? You just woke me up. No, he didn't. So listen. Over the past 15 to 20 years, by faith, I have created physical places that create an environment where I can hear the voice of God and experience intimacy with God. That's what I've done. It started out with prayer walking many years ago, and then it became, because what would happen is when I would want to hear the voice of God, I would find myself, I know you can identify with this, I'm praying and then I'd fall asleep. And then I wake up, Lord, forgive me, and I fall asleep. So I realized that laying in bed and praying was not the way for me, okay? So I started to prayer walk. I didn't fall asleep when I was walking out in the streets all over the place, all over the neighborhoods, right? I was a youth pastor at the time. And then I started to pray in a hot tub. And there are other places. I have a hammock now that I pray in. I have actually two hammocks. And depending on where the sun is, the hammocks are not there to rest. They're there as places to help me find God. And I have many of these places that by faith, when I put a hammock up, when I go to Amazon and order a hammock, it's by faith. I'm doing that by faith because I'm saying, God, I want to create a place where I can hear your voice. So in a way, everything I do is for that purpose. And as long as I live my life trusting, obeying, and maintaining a soft and willing heart, meaning I respond to his voice when he calls me with the word yes, I get to continually experience heaven on earth. And I want that for you. So I'll let you guys play the song. I'm going to sit up here and listen with you. But Tanya, it's all yours. Just sit back and listen.
I can hear it in the crackle of a bonfire, and I can hear it in the middle of the ocean water. Oh, I just can't explain it, but it makes me want to cry. And I can hear it when the rain falls on my windowsill, on a playground where children laughter lives. Oh, I just can't explain it, but it makes me want to cry. And hear it in the busy New York City streets, and I can hear it in the country Georgia fields of green. Oh, I just can't explain, no, but it makes me want to cry. Reminiscing on back when chirping. Oh, it's just something I can't explain. No, but it makes me want to cry. And I can hear it in the hush of a midnight hour. And I'm alone in my room and I'm going under. Oh, I just can't explain. No, but it brings me back to life. The sun goes up, yeah. Sometimes it's better when the sun comes down. Cause there's just something about the moonlight. Yeah, it can make you feel alright. Oh, it's the voice of God. Yeah, can make a grown man cry. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. It's the voice of God. It can make a grown man.
Do you understand? Did it sink in? These past 3 weeks, my plea to you as believers is to have a willingness to go wholeheartedly on the journey that God's calling you to. And while on that journey, when you hear His voice, say yes. Make the priority of your life the hearing of His voice and entering into the promised land that he has for you and experience heaven on earth today. Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, you've never come to him and asked him to forgive you for your sins, just open your heart now and say, yes, Jesus. Just say, yes, come in my life. Come in my life, be my Savior and Lord. Just go ahead and pray that. Just say yes. He's listening. He hears your thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. If you're a Christian and you have not been really giving yourself to that journey, and you're hearing his voice today, say yes now. Say yes. Lord, I ask you for each person that's in this room that has the amazing privilege of getting to hear your voice. I pray that everyone's response would be yes. And I say to you, yes, Lord, yes. Help me to continue that journey. I say yes. Whatever it is that you call me to, whatever it is you need me to do, whatever it is you need me to be, wherever I have to go, the dark times, whatever it is that comes, I'm going to embrace it as part of my journey. And I say yes to you, Lord Jesus. I pray we would follow that, and together we would journey with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.